Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Let's sing this out. Praise Him.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer.
So remember,
seated. If you are a guest with us online, hopefully you're joining us online. If you are a guest, welcome. If you would do us a favor, please text welcome to 256-302-6100, and then you'll get in touch with me, and I can just get a better chance to know you. If you are a guest in this room, we are glad that you're here. Hopefully you got one of these worship guides. If you'll look in there, you'll see where to fill out that information. If you would do us a favor and fill that out, and after the end of the service, put them in the offering boxes in the back. This kind of gets us a chance to know better about you, how we can better serve you. We won't be coming to your house or anything like that. Unless you're an extrovert and you kind of like those things, we can work that out, all right? For some reason, Chris Johnson thought it was a great idea to go out of town with Pam, and then Kale would be here, but Kale is sick. And so this is like the bottom of the reserves, folks. Unsupervised. I mean, I can do whatever I want to. We're online. But listen, we're glad that you're here. We are glad that you're here. We're serving a great God. We just sang about his amazing grace and how sufficient it is for us. Today, I want to remember a couple things. First, we want to mention the church of the week, and that's First Haitian Church. And the pastor there is Pastor Johnny Pierre Charles. And the second thing we want to remind you is the missionary of the week is Robin and Trey Cates. Now, we have a crew right now that's up in Vermont serving on the field right now. And that's Pastor Chris and Miss Pam Morris are up there right now with a lot of other church people. And they're being the hands and feet of Jesus to those. You be praying for them this weekend. They'll be back Tuesday. And hopefully we'll be able to learn a little bit about what all the work is going on, what God is doing in Vermont. And just excited to see all the things that are going on. Well, before we get back into worship, let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much, Father, for your amazing grace, Lord. The grace that is sufficient. The grace, Father, that we've done nothing to deserve or earn. But God, we thank you for that. God, right now we pause and we thank you, Father, for First Haitian Church, Father, and all the work that's going on there. God, we pray for Pastor Charles. I pray that you give him wisdom and boldness as he preaches today. Father, for our missionaries, for Trey and Robin Cates, Father, we pray for the mission team that's up there right now being the hands and feet of Jesus, Lord. God, use them. Use them mightily, Father. Find ways for them to serve and God, just pour out your blessings upon them, Father, as they, God, as they seek to just love on others in the area of Vermont, Father. Lord, for us as in this room, Father, we pray right now, Father, that we worship the true God this morning, the cornerstone, the foundation. Lord, we love you and we're so thankful for you. For it is in your name that we do pray. Amen. Would you stand with us once again as we sing this great hymn of praise, Cornerstone?
Blood and righteousness.
darkness seems.
When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil.
Christ alone.
Christ alone. Cornerstone. Weak and strong. In the Savior's love. Through the storm. He is Lord. Lord out of all. He is Lord. Lord out of all. Christ alone. Cornerstone. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
Would you sing this verse?
It pours, poor lisping, stammering tongue, lies silent in the song. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save.
Father God, as we've worshiped you this morning, as we've sing songs of praise and sung about your amazing grace, Father, that you be the cornerstone and the foundation of our lives, Father. Father God, in this moment, at this time, Father, we worship you with every fiber of our being, God. And even though the music portion stops, the worship continues. It's an overflow, Father. God, when the music fades and everything is stripped away, God, may we focus on you. May we fix our eyes on you, fix our hearts, our minds on you this morning. And God, as we dig into your word, God, as I pray that you be with Pastor Lynn, Father, as he preaches this morning, as he delivers the word, God. Give him boldness. Give him wisdom. Give him power. Help our hearts and our minds and our ears to be attentive, to listen to what you have to speak through to us, Father. Use him, guide him this morning, Father. In your name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated, folks.
Hello, Father Ron.
Hey, guys, we are up here on a mission with Trey and Robin Cates, and we're helping them with some outreach events, getting ready for the new church plant that's coming to Williamstown, Vermont. We're excited to be here, but we wish we were with you. We're praying that you have a great service. Cale Colvin was scheduled to preach for us today, but he is sick, probably has the flu. And so we have a guest speaker. Lynn Darnell has stepped in to speak. Let's cheer for Lynn Darnell. Lynn served as our church planter with the Bridge Church in Geraldine. He's going to tell you about all the great things that have happened there. But now he is planting a new work in Boaz called Life Church of Boaz, which makes them our granddaughter church. So that's something else to celebrate. So everybody, welcome Lynn. Woo!
Amen. Good morning. There was a guy in Texas one time, very, very wealthy man. And every year he had a big party. And at the end of his party, he would bring everybody down to his pool. He had Texas oil money, so he was worth billions. He had like Russell Kilpatrick money. And the guy, he'd bring everybody down to the pool every year and say, okay, anybody that swims across my pool will get half of my fortune. The only thing is, his pool was full of alligators. So every year he had the big party. Everybody came down. He invited everybody down to the pool. Okay, guys, anybody want to swim across my pool and get half of my fortune? Every year, everybody walked away. Every year he had the party. Every year he gave the invitation. Every year, everybody walked away. One year he had the great party, brought everybody down to the pool. And he said, okay, I'll give you half of my fortune if you'll swim across my pool full of alligators. Nobody done anything. They started walking back up the hill. They heard splash. They turn around and one guy is swimming for all he's worth. He's swimming. He's kicking. The water's boiling. Alligators are popping up. They're rolling. They're trying to get him. He's swimming. He's screaming. He's hollering. He's swimming for all he's worth. He's swimming. He's kicking. His arms are going. The water's boiling. Alligators are chomping everywhere. Everybody's screaming. Finally, he gets out on the other side. He's like, the billionaire runs down and says, you did it. You get half of my fortune. Do you have anything to say before I give you all this money? He went, yeah, who pushed me in? So this morning, what I want to do is take the word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit and maybe just push you in a little farther. Everybody said? Amen. Now, I had to do this in the first service. You know this is Baptist for amen, right? Amen. Hey, y'all a little better. Y'all woke up. Now, the first service is like, amen. Yeah. Let's try it again. Oh, what about a two-hand? Come on. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. God bless you. Don, good job with worship. Great job, buddy. Y'all pray for Don. I know he looks terrible. I mean, feels terrible this morning. the whole worship team, guys, y'all are amazing. Y'all are fantastic. Mark chapter 2. Before we get into Mark chapter 2, in Mark chapter 1, Jesus has been baptized. He has been tempted by Satan. Jesus has called his first four disciples. He has healed many. And now we are down to Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, he entered Capernaum. And after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus with themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say of the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified, saying, "We never saw anything like this. Heavenly Father, will you bless the reading and the preaching and the teaching of thy word today? Father, I pray that our hearts are prepared for what you want to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So today, we want to talk about Mark chapter 2. Great, great story. But you see it in Mark chapter 2 and in verse 1, the Bible says that it was heard that Jesus was in the house. Now, how did people hear that Jesus was in the house? It's very simple. Jesus showed up at a house and people went out and started talking about it. See, when Jesus is in the house, people talk about it. Amen? Here's another thing. When Jesus is not in the house, people talk about that also. See, when I was in Israel, I had a chance to see this very house that Mark chapter 2 is talking about. Most say it was the Apostle Peter's house, and it's a very small house, so it's very easy to see how it could be full so quick that no one could get in or around or near the door. It was a very small house, and it was packed. So, number two, verse 2, it says that immediately many gathered together, and so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Now, this is amazing to me. Jesus is in a setting. The house is full. The house is so full, nobody else can get in or near the house. And I love this. The Bible said he preached the word. He didn't preach his opinion. He didn't preach doctrine. He preached the word. Everybody say the word. He preached the word. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm wondering why he didn't take up a love offering to that big a crowd. Amen? But he preached the word. Listen, if we're going to have an effective church, if we're going to have effective churches, three things have to happen in every church. Three things are necessary for every church to prosper and for every church to be a kingdom-minded, Jesus Christ-serving church. Number one, every church has to be a place where people are loved. Amen? Now, here's the thing. I don't know how long some of y'all been here. You may have been up early this morning. But a lot of times, I don't know how it is at your house on Sunday morning, but there are not a lot of I love yous going around on Sunday morning. Thank you. I mean, y'all may have some, but most of the time we're like, where's your shoes? No, where's your other shoe? Now you've lost your other shoe. Have you brushed your teeth? Have you combed your hair? Did you? I mean, it's just pure chaos. So this morning, before we get started, I want everybody here to hear I love you. Turn to somebody and just say, I love you. So everybody gets to hear I love you. Say it, I love you. You know what happened? Everybody started smiling. But here's the thing. We're from Sand Mountain. We're in the South. Nobody here says, I love you. We always say, I love you, right? So turn and tell somebody, I love you. Man, y'all went from being sad to happy all of a sudden. Look at everybody smiling. It makes you happy to hear, I love you, doesn't it? And every church should be a place where people are loved. Number two, it should be a place where the word is explained. And let me tell you this, your pastor does a great job of explaining the word of God. You should be thankful for your pastor. Number three, a church should be a place where Jesus is exalted. Every song, every testimony, every time you walk in the door, out the door, every handshake, every cup of coffee should exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Now, verse number three, then they came to him bringing the paralytic who was carried by four. I love this. Four men got together, knew where there was someone that couldn't get to church, knew somebody that needed Christ. I love this. They didn't just invite him to church. They took him to church. They didn't just tell him about Jesus. They took him to Jesus. Four like-minded men with a passion changed this man's life forever. Isn't it great? Listen, don't introduce people to your pastor. Introduce them to the master. Amen? And that's what these four men, they were like-minded. They could have got to church and had a good seat. They could have got into the building. They could have sat with their family. They could have got all through the service, but they sacrificed to be sure someone else got to Jesus Christ. Four like-minded men that said, we want to get this one man to Christ. Isn't that great? Now, let me do this. I did this in the first service, so y'all got to really make Brother Chris's life miserable next Sunday. If you don't do that, say amen. Oh, y'all really do? That's funny. Okay, so listen, like-minded men, like-minded women, like-minded people can accomplish so much. Do you know why that geese fly in a V formation? Geese fly in a V formation because it's a scientific fact they can go faster and farther when they're together going the same direction. That's a beautiful picture of our churches today. Church, First Baptist Albertville, you can go faster and farther when y'all are together going the same way. When one goose gets sick, he will fly down. Two other geese fly down and wait for that goose to heal or die. When the geese are concerned, nobody gets left behind. This is beautiful. When the geese are flying over and the lead goose gets tired, he falls back and the next goose just takes its place. You know how I know that geese aren't Baptist? They didn't vote on who was going to be the next leader. Amen? It would have took Baptist geese 2 weeks to find out who's going to step back and what time they're going to meet. I mean, praise God, geese just get it done. Here's another thing. And this is where I want you to encourage your pastor next week. Have you ever been fishing or hunting or even been near a pond or a lake and you hear those geese come over and they're honking? They're honk, 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 you know? You've heard that, right? You haven't heard that? Yeah, everybody's heard that. Here's a good fact. The lead goose is not saying a word. Every other goose is honking, encouraging the lead goose. They're encouraging, going, we got you, brother. Don't even look. We're back here. We know you're going to find food. We know you're going to find water. We know you're going to find shelter. We're behind you. You just keep leading, and we're behind you. Next Sunday morning, when you walk in here, when Brother Chris gets from there to here, y'all all stand up and applaud and start going, honk, 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 honk. Amen? Look, that sounds silly, but at least let him know you're behind him, going the same way, and you got his back. Amen? Guys, y'all got a good pastor. Double hand. Yeah, you got a good pastor. Yeah. See, the good thing about these men is they, when they got there, they uncovered the roof. Verse 4, I'm getting ahead of myself. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When everyone else saw an obstacle, these four men saw an opportunity. When everyone else would have quit, these four men were just getting started. If you want to be effective in the kingdom of God, you need to learn one phrase. Effort takes energy. And excuses just take. Effort takes energy. You must do something. But excuses just take. Verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, notice this. So the house is full. Jesus is there. The four men bring the paralytic man. They cut a hole in the roof. They lower the man down. And Jesus, the scripture says, when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus healed this man. Stay with me. When Jesus saw whose faith, church? He saw their faith. He healed this man. See, the only thing this man could bring to the table was his sins and his burdens and his brokenness. The only thing you brought to salvation was your sins. That's all you brought. Jesus did the saving. The only thing you could bring that night was your sins. When Jesus saw their faith, he healed him. Never quit praying for your grandchildren. Never quit praying for your children, your church, your leaders, your country, because of your faith, maybe God does a powerful miracle in their life. Verse 6, 7, and 8. And some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? I want to share something with you very quickly. How many of you have ever heard of a cold water committee? What a cold water committee is what happened in verses 6, 7, and 8. The house is full. Jesus is in the house. A paralytic man has been healed. Jesus does a miracle. It's amazing. But during all of this, here comes the cold water committee. The cold water committee are those people that always come and try to put out a fire that God has started. So these people walk up and they're like, Jesus, what are you doing? How can you forgive sins? They've missed the complete fact that a man has been healed. Now, I want you to notice this. Everybody stay with me for just a minute. I want to paint you a picture. Jesus is in the house. The house is full. A man, they've cut a hole in the roof. They lowered the man down. Jesus has healed this man, and he is now walking. And this cold water committee, they come up to Jesus, and you know what question I guarantee they ask him? They probably walked up, looked up, and said, Jesus, who's going to fix that hole in our roof? Now, if they were a Baptist church, and I kind of think they were, you know why? Because I bet somebody walked up, I guarantee you, somebody walked up to Jesus, looked at that hole in the roof and said, you know, my granddaddy helped put those shingles on that roof. You laughing because you know it's true, amen? My granddaddy would turn over in his grave if he knew that y'all would rip them shingles off that roof. I guarantee you, somebody else would walk up and say, you know, we didn't even vote on whether or not we're going to let that man get healed and get down through that roof. Right? And thirdly, you know where I'm going because you know it's true. Somebody had to walk up and said, who's going to pay for that hole in the roof? Do you see the message this morning? The blessings were there. Jesus was there. A miracle had been performed. But so many people had their eyes on the hole in the roof that they couldn't even see the miracles that were going on all around them. Maybe this morning that's where you are. Maybe you walked in here this morning and all you see is a hole in the roof. Maybe you walked in here this morning and all you can think about is that bill that you can't pay. Maybe your only thing you're thinking of is that family member that just won't do right. Maybe you're thinking about that friend that you can't forgive or they can't forgive you. Or maybe this morning you've walked in here with that sin that you hope nobody else knows about that you think you've hid from everybody this morning. Maybe you've walked in here this morning full of blessings, but yet your eyes are on that hole in the roof. How many of y'all are blessed this morning? Would you just raise your hands high and proud this morning? Would you just say the words real loud, I am blessed? Come on, really loud. I am blessed. Where are your eyes at this morning? Are you looking at your blessings or are you looking at that hole in the roof this morning? This morning, if I could, sister, if you're ready, I want to share something with you. God knows my heart. God knows that I'm not very smart. God knows that my mind drifts to some bad places. God knows that if he don't keep his finger on me, I'm not like all of you. Y'all are all good people. God knows that if he don't keep his finger on me, I'll spend all day looking at that hole in the roof and I'll miss all the good things that God's doing in my life. Can they say amen to that? I mean, that hole in the roof can consume this fat preacher. I mean, it can consume me. So God has put some things in my life so that when I get consumed with that hole in the roof, those bills I can't pay, those family members that I can't stand, those friends that have done me wrong, those sins that I hope nobody finds out about, my depression, my anxiety, all of these other things, when my eyes get on that hole in the roof, God had to put some things in my life so that he could put my attention back on his goodness. 12 years ago, I made a promise to God. I made a promise to God that if he would do something for me, that I would tell his story everywhere I go. So for 12 years, my family's been going place to place to place. And the first time that I ever am able to share the gospel in a church, I tell this story because I begged God to do something for me. And he held up his end of the bargain. So if you'll give me just a few minutes, I want to fulfill a promise that I made to God 12 years ago. That helps keep my eyes off the hole in the roof. My wife and I were married in 1995. She's sitting right there. Would you raise your hand, baby? Y'all can look. Go ahead. Yeah. Isn't she pretty? Thank you. We were married in 1995. Built a little house. I had a good job at a phone company. She had a good job. She's a teacher at Albertville. Everything's going great. I mean, it's just the perfect middle-class family. Everything's just beautiful. And we began to try to start a family. And like everybody else, we thought it would just be easy, and it wasn't. We couldn't start a family. Went to doctors and different things, and nobody could ever figure out why. They just said, there's nothing wrong. It's just not happening. And we didn't understand that, nor did we like that. So we began to drift apart just a little bit because it began to drive a wedge in between us. And if you have or are dealing with this issue, we understand how painful it is. When you're trying to start a family and can't, it was amazing to us. Everybody we knew ended up pregnant. Everybody. Every cousin, every niece, every friend, everybody we knew was pregnant. So we pulled away from our friends. We pulled away from church. We didn't want to be around anybody. And during this time, God began to really deal with me and began to call me into the ministry. And I just looked at him. I said, God, you're crazy. You're not going to give me a child, but you want me to go preach your gospel? How many times do we do God like that? God, if you're not going to do everything I say, I won't do what you say. Well, guess what? God doesn't play like that. Because see, my father was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. And I didn't want to live the life that they lived. I saw how mean y'all church people are. I saw how y'all could devour and destroy a preacher. I didn't want any part of that. So I just told God, nope, I ain't going to do it. So I did the only thing I knew to do. I packed up and I left my wife. Packed up and I went home to mom and daddy. And thought that would fix everything. And basically, I just got more miserable. I'm going to tell you something this morning. The most miserable person in the world is not a lost person. The most miserable person in the world is a Christian out of the will of God. And that's where I was, and that's how I was living. One night it got so bad and I got so miserable that I was at my mom and daddy's house in the very back bedroom, and it's still an old house, and they had red shag carpet. You ever heard of shag carpet? Well, I laid in that shag carpet about that deep, and I just told God, God, I'll do it. I don't want to do it. I don't know how to do it. But God, if you'll just stop this pain, if you'll just fix whatever's broken, I'll go share your gospel. I'll preach your word. I preached my first message in March of 2001. And in March of 2002, my baby girl was born. So I want to tell you this. God's not answering your prayers. It may not be that he's not hearing you. It may be that you're not where you need to be. And she couldn't be here today. She goes to JSU, so proud of her. She's a ballerina on the dance line now, so proud of her. So everything's going good. We got a little girl, got a pretty little house, got a beautiful wife. I'm sharing the gospel. My calendar's filling up. I'm preaching all the time. And boy, I think I'm something. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm working for the phone company. I worked for AT&T for 24 years. And I'm driving through Gunnersville. And my wife calls me. She says, hey, God's been dealing with me. And she said, I think we need to get into foster care. And I said, well, he ain't talked to me. And I hung the phone up. I'm going down Highway 79 between Gunnersville and Birmingham. And I pulled on this little old dirt road. And I got down in the ditch and I prayed. And I said, God, if this is what you want, that ain't what I want, but you got to show us. You ever had a moment when that blanket of peace just lays on you and just surrounds you and just lets you know for a few minutes that God's like, yeah, this is what I want? And I called her back and I said, let's do it. So we went through classes. We went through 10 weeks of what they call GPS classes. And in those GPS classes for foster care, they teach you how to deal with every situation, the physically abused, the sexually abused, the mentally abused, the hungry, the starving, whatever else. After 10 weeks, we got out of classes, and honey, we knew everything. We got out of class on Monday. The phone rang on Tuesday, and they said, hey, we got a baby. We want you to foster. And we said, okay. They said, but there was one catch. The baby's 4 weeks premature, and the baby's so full of crystal meth and cocaine that it's probably going to seize and flop like a fish in the middle of the night and may not make it through the night. The baby was so small, he was this big. We could put him in a car seat, cinch the car seat down, and he would roll out. He was so small. We found out later that the baby was born in a bathtub only about 15 minutes from this church. The baby was born in the bathtub, the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck. According to the medical reports, he turned purple and red and black. Should have died. we found out that while the mom was pregnant with the baby, that she was locked up in jail and she would run and smash her belly against the bars of the prison trying to kill this baby so the guards would let her out. We took the baby back to the doctor the next day, and the doctor looked at him and said, "This can't be the same baby that I saw yesterday." He said, "What'd y'all do, take him to a doctor?" We said, "Nah, we took him to the great physician." Amen. Come on. Listen. So we got there and we got home, and from day one, they tell us that there's an uncle in Louisiana coming to get this baby. They say, "Don't get attached." An uncle's coming to get this baby. And we knew that. We knew that from day one. 8 months later, I'm walking out of my bedroom, putting my tie on to go preach, and the little baby looks at me and calls me Dada. And oh, it just killed me. And everywhere we go, people say, "How do you do it? How do you live this lifestyle knowing somebody's coming to get your son?" I said, "It's easy." I said, "You smile all day long and then you cry yourself to sleep every night. Every time the phone rings, you just pray to God it's not somebody coming to get your children." One day I'm working in Huntsville on University Drive in Huntsville for the phone company, and Lori calls me and she says, "Well, the uncle's called and they're coming to get the baby." And I said, "Okay." She said, "But don't worry about it. I prayed about it. Everything's good." And I said, "Okay." And by that time I looked down and I said, "Well, there's the uncle calling me now. Let me see what he wants." So I click over and I call the uncle and he says, "Hey, I guess you've heard we're coming to get the baby." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I want you to know something's changed in our life. Is there any way y'all would consider adopting that little boy?" And I'm on University Drive screaming and hollering, running across the wrong way in Huntsville, Alabama, because we're going to get to adopt that little boy. I want to tell you something tonight. I wasn't there when Peter walked on water. I wasn't there when the blind man received his sight. I wasn't there when the lame began to walk. And I wasn't there when Jesus called Lazarus from the grave. But I was there that night that Jesus Christ pulled crystal meth and cocaine out of my baby boy. You see, there's times, I'm just like you. Man, there's times that my bank account's below zero. There's times I'm so tired, I can't keep going. There's times that Lori and I just don't get along. There's times when things go wrong and I look at that hole in the roof. I focus on that hole in the roof. I can't get my eyes off that hole in the roof. And the Lord Jesus keeps telling me, "Remember what I did. Remember what I did. Get your eyes off that hole in the roof and look back at how I've blessed you and your family." Thank you, buddy. So let me ask you this. Are you looking at the hole in the roof this morning? Have you completely missed what God's done in your life? What God's doing in your family? Or is that hole in the roof all you can see this morning? Look, I know the numbers are down this morning. The flu bug's hit. COVID's on the rise. Gas prices are going up. Guess what? The tomb's still empty. Amen. So we're at home one night. Lori answers the phone and says, "Okay." Hangs the phone up. I said, "Who was that?" She said, "They're bringing us another." I said, "All right." There's a 22-month-old little boy, a biracial, beautiful boy. He was sitting in a car seat. And he was sitting behind his mama, looking at his mama's head. All we know is they was either delivering drugs or picking up or selling. We don't really know what. We just know drugs were involved. And he fell asleep in the car seat, looking at the back of his mama's head. They take him out of the car, bring him to us, still in his car seat. We lay him in my little daughter, in my daughter's bed, and that's how it was. The next morning, he woke up. My daughter had a slumber party the night before, so this little biracial boy wakes up to 10 little white girls looking over at him, and he lets out a scream that's a scream that I hope nobody ever hears. And we try to console him. And a day or so later, we had a glass door at our house. We could open the main door and have a glass door to look out. And that little 22-month-old boy would stand at that glass door and he'd just holler two things. He'd say, "That way, done. That way, done. That way, done." We found out later he had two brothers, Andre and Dion. And he was calling for his brothers to come help him. Well, through the grace of God, through the mercy of God, God let us keep him too, and his name's Brody. Come here, big guy. Dreadlocks and all. Now, I want to tell you something about Brody. Mike, you need to know this. Something about Brody. Every time before I preach, he prays over me. He finds me. He prays over me. When I have needs, when I have things that are just not right, I don't call preachers and I don't call deacons. I find Big Dog right here, my prayer warrior. So you need, I'll tell you what, I'll let you borrow him for a little while. So when service is over, you got a need, his name's Brody. He can talk to God on your behalf. Love you, son. So you see why I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. But I still, my eyes still drift toward that hole in the roof. And God turns my head back and says, look, remember how that wife that you left, she stayed with you. I look at that hole in the roof and she goes, remember that little baby that was born with crystal meth and cocaine? I healed him. I look at that hole in the roof and says, remember that boy that was on that drug run? He's yours now. I look at that hole in the roof and he goes, remember that daughter that you couldn't have that I gave to you? So this morning, here's the greatest part about this story. When Jesus healed this man, I think it's verse 12 or verse 11, Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. You know why I think he said that? Now I may be wrong, this is just implying, but I think that man had to carry that bed around everywhere he went. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Why would he want someone to carry a bed around? Well, can you imagine him carrying that bed around and somebody say, why do you carry that bed around everywhere you go? And he'll say, let me tell you where I was. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. That's why I love my family. They're like my reminders to keep my eyes off the hole in the roof. Look, I know it's dreary outside, it's cold, it's wet. Maybe you've come in here today and maybe your eyes are on that hole in the roof. Maybe all you can see is that marriage that's just not working. Maybe all you can see is the bank account that's dwindling, a job you hate, family that's not getting along. I don't know. But we all got that hole in the roof somewhere. But I want you to look up and down the road. Is your family anywhere here? Just look. Look, turn your head left and right. Do you see any of your family here? Then you're blessed. Look across the congregation. You see people you love? Then you're blessed. Keep your eyes on the blessings, not on the hole in the roof. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Can I ask you this? How did you come in here today? Did you come in here with your blessings on your mind? Did you come in here with the finished work of Christ in your heart? Or did you come in here this morning with nothing on your mind but that hole in the roof? The problems, the things that we can't control, the problems in our area, those holes we can't seem to fix, the things that doesn't seem to be healing. Is that you this morning? Is that you this morning? If that's you, how you come tell God. God, will you fill that hole? God, I'm sorry for only looking at the hole. It's all you this morning. It's not about me. It's not about this church. It's about you and the finished work at the cross. While we stand, would you sing your Brother Don, one of my favorite songs? Would you stand this morning? Would you sing loud this morning?
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.